as you may or may not have heard or seen the enormous head, that's very cool. My name is Andrew. This is my wife, Maya, and our daughter, Aya, who is making her presence known. We live in a town, a city called Phnom Penh, in a country called Cambodia, that is somewhere in between Vietnam and Thailand. In case you don't know, sometimes people ask me how Africa's going, so just have to help with that. It is in Asia. We love it. We love our city. We love our church. We love to be there. But Cambodia doesn't really have seasons like Australia does. You know, Australia has like summer, and then you get this like autumn time, and it's starting to get cooler, and we were so excited to come for this time of year because it's beautiful. And then you get winter, and then, you know, you guys know, you live here, you get it. Cambodia doesn't really get that. We have basically two seasons. It's either hot and not raining, or it's hot and always raining. And that's basically it. So it's always hot, but sometimes it rains. And when it rains, it really rains. And I used to ride my push bike to work sometimes. And one day I came out of work and I really wanted to get home. I'd been there for a long time. And it was bucketing rain, like pouring. And the drainage systems are not what they should be, not what they could be. And so the water on the road was kind of like this high. Oh, you want to come? Yeah, go with mummy. Oh. Okay. See ya. Bye-bye. Oh, baby girl. This is every time we do a gathering, every Sunday for us. So if anyone wants to come and babysit for a Sunday afternoon. It gets really wet. And one day I just had to get home and it was pouring rain, and so I rode my bike home through this rain, like up to my shins, and I got home and opened the front door, and it looked like I had just gone and jumped in a swimming pool and then like decided to walk into the house. And Mayor's like, no, you need to basically just get rid of all of that before you even enter the house. And it was super wet, and that's just how it is, you know, that these things happen. But I was thinking about storms that we have in our life. Awesome transition. You know, not just the literal storms that are really obvious, that are really big, that are really, you know, whatever, you guys get it. But the challenges, the setbacks, the difficulties that we all face, and whether they're a little thing like riding my bike through the water, or some bigger challenges like what it is for us, and this is just our story. I know everybody has their own challenge and their own story. You know, moving to another country, what it's like to raise a toddler in that context, and all of that are challenges for us. But the Bible is full of storms as well. I feel like there's like a whole 20-week series preaching through storm stories, because there's a lot of storm stories in the Bible. But I want to look at one of them today. You with me? Yeah. Cool. So it's in the book of Mark, chapter 4. I think it'll be up on the screen. It says that on that day, so Jesus has been with his disciples. They've been hanging out. They've been talking. He's been teaching these crowds of people, and then he's been explaining what he's been teaching to his followers. And it says, then it cuts to the evening. He says, let's go to the other side of the lake, the sea, or whatever it is. And so they leave the crowd and they take him in a boat just as he was. And it says all these other boats are there, and they go out on the sea. Okay, you there? And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat so that the boat was already filling. Now, these stories always sound really normal when you read them in the Bible, but it's a crazy thing. They're out on the ocean. Has anybody been in a boat? Yes, good. All right, and then it starts to get really bad. The weather starts to turn. It gets all of a sudden, it starts to get dark. It starts to get stormy. It starts to get these big, big waves breaking into the boat. And Jesus' followers start freaking out, which some of these guys were professional fishermen, and they start to panic about the storm. You know it's a bad storm. And it says, but Jesus was in the stern. I think the stern is the back, yeah? Yeah, okay, good. I do not know much about boats. And he was asleep on a cushion. So there's this crazy storm. There's all of this stuff happening. There's wind and there's waves and there's water and it's all happening. And Jesus is asleep in the boat. And they wake him up and they say, teacher, don't you care? I think this is like one of the first questions we ever ask God, yeah? In our lives, in the storms in our lives. God, Jesus, don't you care? Yeah? Yeah? We'll get back to it in a minute. There's a couple of questions the disciples asked that I want to look at today in this little time that we've got. And they wake him up and they say, don't you care that we're dying? So he gets up and it says he rebukes, he speaks to the wind and he speaks to the sea and he says, be still. And there was a great calm. Nothing flat, quiet, beautiful. And then he says to his followers, he says, so why were you so afraid? Don't you have any faith? And it says they were filled with great fear and they said to each other, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? That's the second question the disciples ask, yeah? This is an incredible story to me, not because it's just this amazing story and it's cool that you know, Jesus does this miracle and it's all this awesome stuff, but because it reveals to us so much about who Jesus is, so much about who God is. And I think we can get in our lives kind of complacent with who Jesus is. And if you've been in church community for a while, you can be like, oh yeah, I've heard this story. I get the idea. Exactly, blah-de-blah. Blah. But then, like, just as the team was singing that song that says, if I've got Jesus, I've got all I need, we can never graduate from understanding who Jesus is and asking that question for ourselves, who is this Jesus, yeah? And so that's what I want to focus on today, the two questions that the disciples ask, okay? Cool? You good? We've been going through these stories in our gatherings in Phnom Penh and just kind of teaching through who Jesus is and what he did. And it's great to have these conversations and have these conversations with young people who've never heard this story. They didn't grow up in Sunday school. They didn't like hear all of these things. And so it's so cool to see this fresh perspective on, man, that's crazy that Jesus did this. I was talking to some guys the other day about Zacchaeus. And we were chatting through the story, and you may or may not know the story. Here's Zacchaeus, the corrupt tax business owner, which is a really common and relevant illustration in the city and the country that we live in. And they were like, how come he meets Jesus once for one afternoon and his entire life changes? And like, I don't kind of ask those questions very often because I've grown up with these stories. A lot of you have grown up with these stories. They're like, man, there must be something about Jesus that in one lunchtime together, his whole entire life is transformed. Yeah? So let's not get complacent with these stories. Let's not get familiar with these stories, because when we read them with fresh eyes, when we think about what it means, when we ask the same questions that the disciples are asking, I think we really learn a lot about who Jesus is, about how he loves us, about what he has for our lives, yeah? Cool. So the first question that they ask is, don't you care? Jesus is asleep in the boat in the storm, yeah? We've all been there, facing huge storms, things that are going on in our lives, circumstances that we don't understand, things, challenges, stuff that we're like, oh, this is really tough. God, are you there? And then it's just, you know, crickets and it's silence. And you're like, God, don't you even care what I'm going through? Can't you even see the problem that I'm facing, the stuff, the situation that is in my life? I know I have had these conversations with God. I'm sure you have too. Where we're like, there's so much happening, this situation that we think it can feel like Jesus is asleep in the back of the boat and he doesn't care. But what I think we do is the same mistake the disciples make, is that we mistake Jesus' lack of worry for his lack of caring. Jesus always cares. He cares, always. If you want to leave with something, leave with this. Jesus always cares about your situation, but he is never worried, yeah? He is never afraid. And what we see as uncaring, Jesus knows is, I've got this situation under control, and it might not look like it, and it might not be exactly what you expected, and it might not be in the timing that you want or the way that you want, but he's never worried. He's never afraid. He's never scared, but he always cares. Yeah? No storm is too big for Jesus. No drama, nothing in our lives is so bad or so wrong or so wrecked that Jesus starts to get worried. He never gets worried, no matter what it is. The waves are crashing over the boat. The disciples who are used to this water and boats, and they've been on boats all their life, they're freaking out. Jesus is asleep, not because he doesn't care, but because he is not worried. Jesus always cares. But he is never worried. Why? Because he has power over the wind and waves. They listen to him. Why be worried about something that you have power over? Yeah. So the first question that disciples ask is the first question that I think a lot of us ask when we're exploring faith, when we're thinking about what it means to follow Jesus, is, God, there's all this stuff happening in my life and in the world. Don't you care about it? Yeah. But the second question, I think, is the better question, and the question that we all need to ask ourselves, and that everybody on this planet needs to ask themselves at some point, is, who is this? Yeah. Who is this that even the wind and the waves would obey him? Jesus gets up in the boat and he says to the wind and the waves, that's enough now. Stop. And everything is calm and peaceful. And then he turns to the disciples and says, why were you afraid? Why were you worried? Yeah. I feel like he's like kind of like, you guys have been hanging out with me for a while now. You've heard the stories. You've seen the miracles. Like, why were you getting worried? And we start to get fearful. We start to get worried. We start to get afraid when we forget or we don't understand who is in the boat with us. Yeah. And so when we think about it, when we realize that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is the Word made flesh, that he is Emmanuel, God with us, and he is the one that's in the boat with us in the storm, then that fear can be replaced with faith. When we realize that the whole reason he came to earth, the whole reason he's in that boat is to save us, then we don't need to be afraid, yeah? But the better question then becomes, who is this Jesus? And that's the question we need to answer for ourselves. You know, when God speaks, it happens. We see it in this story. We see it Genesis 1, you know, all the way through the Bible, story after story after story. God speaks and it is. God speaks and it is. And Jesus is the Word of God. So when he speaks, it happens. You know, from creation to this storm, to my life, to your life, I think that's really important to remember. Because oftentimes when the storms hit, when things get tough, when things get a little crazy, they almost always appear stronger than the Word of God. Yeah? Almost always appear stronger than the Word of God. There's been a lot of, like, you know, we can show you amazing stories from Dinah and other guys, and it's phenomenal and they're great things, and you can see our Instagram and it looks awesome, just because that's all we want to share on our Instagram, because it's not real. Everybody knows that, yeah, social media is not real. But there are a lot of days where we're like, what are we doing here? What are we living here for? You know, it's not the easiest place in the world to live sometimes. We came back to visit Wollongong and we're like, man, this city is unfairly, absurdly beautiful. and the roads are so clean. And nobody has cut me off. And I'm still checking the mirror for the motorbike that's coming on the inside, and they're never there. Like, come on, you guys are very blessed, and you know it. It's an incredible place to live, but so we can get in a bad space. And I'm not trying to diminish. Everybody has challenges, hey? Everybody has things in their lives and things that honestly I wouldn't be able to handle, just as you may or may not handle the challenge that God has allowed in our lives. We all have a storm. We all have a thing that we're facing. We all have a challenge. We all have these personal winds and these personal waves that are crashing and threatening to sink us, yeah? And when that happens, it's really easy for the Word of God to seem really small, to seem really quiet, to seem really distant. We start to say, hey, where is God? Don't you care, God? Don't you love me? Your Bible says that you love me, but this stuff is happening in my life and it's real, real rough. And that's when Jesus asked the disciples what I think is a really cool question in this story. There's a lot of questions in this story. He says, where's your faith? Because the Word of God is stronger than any storm. And it's up to us to decide, will I trust in what I see in the storm? In the things that are happening, in the circumstances that are happening, in the situations that are in my life, or will I trust in the Word of God? And one of those things will fade away, and one of those things will never fade away, and that is the Word of God. And he says, and I want to go a quick couple of Psalms that are going to come up on the screen. Psalm 65:7 says, God, who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves. This was written years and years and years before Jesus in this story. And it's saying, this is who God is. He is God who will still the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves. Psalm 89:9, you rule the raging of the sea. And when its waves rise, you still them. Amen. It's kind of like they knew what was coming, yeah? Psalm 93:4, mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Amen. Psalm 107:29, he made the storm be still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. Now these are poetic prophecies that then have this like literal fruition in Jesus in this boat, but also are real in our lives. The Word of God is always stronger than any storm. The Word of God is always bigger. The Word of God is always there. We love and serve the God who calms the storms, the God who is in the boat with us, but is not worried. Not a God who is distant, not a God who is absent, but a God who is right there in our situation, loving us, caring for us, but is not worried about anything because he rules the waters and the sea, and he is mighty, and he is bigger, and he is stronger. Amen? And so the great question that the disciples ask is the end of this story. They say, who is this? Who is Jesus? And I think that's the question that all of us need to ask and all of us need to answer for ourselves. Jesus is with us. He's here with us in the boat. And the question for all of us is to decide, who is he to us? You know, it's not really enough, I don't think, to say, oh, he's a historical figure with good philosophy and we can take bits and add it to our bits and do what we want with it. We have a lot of young guys that I talk to that they think Jesus has some good ideas and they try and like shoehorn it a little bit into their kind of half Buddhist background, see how it all fits together. And I don't think that's enough of an answer to the question of who Jesus is. No, we need to decide, is Jesus just in a book? Is he some sort of religion, or is he the Son of God, came to save us, who has the power over wind and waves, and if you keep reading through these stories, has the power over life and death, yeah? Not just to calm the storm, but to raise from the dead. to have the power over life itself. Now, God never promised that we wouldn't see a storm. This story is not to make us think that if we follow Jesus, our life will be perfect and everything will be easy and nothing will go wrong. If that's what we think, then the first time something bad happens, it really shakes our faith, yeah? But he's promised that he will be with us in the storm, that he will be next to us, that he will be close to us, that he will never leave his children alone in the midst of trouble. And that if we would just persevere, if we would just keep going, that he will overcome. It might not always look the way we expect, but he will overcome. And our response is, will we trust him? Will we know that he is bigger than the storm? Will we know that he is greater than any circumstance and have faith in him through all of that? Amen. Last week at our gathering, you saw some clips in that video. We were looking at the birth of Jesus and the names of Jesus in the start of Matthew. And one of the names that the Bible gives Jesus is Emmanuel, which means God with us. And my encouragement today for you, and hopefully an encouragement from halfway across the world, coming in here just to talk for a few minutes, is that God is with you. No matter the storm, no matter the situation, no matter the good, the bad, the ugly, the challenging, the overwhelming, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. And he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. The first thing that Matthew says about Jesus is that he is God with us. The last thing he says in the end of Matthew, Jesus says, and I will be with you always. His promise isn't that there won't be a storm. His promise is that he will never leave us when the storms come. So I hope that's encouraging. And I hope that you would think, in this coming days and weeks, I don't know where your walk with God is at, where your relationship with God is at, but that you would start to answer that question for yourself: who is Jesus to me?